Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hey there. On the last secret show before the election, Sarah and I talked about... We talked about a lot of stuff. We talked about Donald Trump's latest threat, this time against Liz Cheney. We talked about the gender gap and what that's going to mean next Tuesday. We talked about St. Larry, who had some things to say this week. And, we just talked about what our feelings are heading into the last 96 hours here. Here's the show.
Let me just read it. Can I read it so we get every word correctly? She says, let's put her with a rifle standing there with nine barrels shooting at her. Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. And honestly, me reading it out loud doesn't do it justice, because when you hear him do it with the vitriol and the her face, like shooting her in the face, it gives you like, I think, like, the big bad kind of chills of, okay. Like, this isn't like, sorry, this isn't like when Republicans flop in distress because, you know, Joe Biden marble mouths his way through a thing where he's trying to call someone else garbage and then he accidentally calls all the Trump voters garbage, which is bad and I think a testament to why Joe Biden shouldn't be the nominee. But then Republicans, they just, oh, they say they're so offended. I can't believe it. It is. I want to know what you think about him sitting there straightforwardly. I've seen a couple of people try to do a context thing, like be like, here's the longer clip. I watched the full extended clip. There's no additional context. There's no anything that's like, oh, he meant something else. No, he meant, let's see how she feels when the guns are in her face.
Yeah, I mean, I could, if you were paying me money to do it, I could create some sort of explanation for this in which Trump is really saying that he had been brave having guns pointed at his face and that let's see her be as brave as him. The weirdest is the number nine. That's a weirdly specific thing to say, isn't it? Because the only possible explanation of that is that he's talking about a firing squad.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there is no, when it comes to firing squads, there is no rule on this. I mean, sometimes it's five, sometimes it's seven, sometimes it's, I mean, you know, you just get whatever guys you can find to shoot the bad guy. Whatever.
Or the good guy.
Or the good guy. I don't
firing think squads often way. The people they're shooting at are not bad. Depends on the context.
Sure. Depends on the context. I think it is almost impossible to read this as anything other than a fantasizing about putting her in front of a firing squad. I don't think there is any other way to read it. Do you?
No.
I mean,
No, I've been on a bit of a, like, I watched it and I was like, I went to my team. So my team had surfaced it, you know, in the middle of the night or whatever.
I bet the people at the Free Press are going to be so upset about this. I mean, Barry's got like 80 people ranging from pro-Trump to anti-anti-Trump coming to her election night watch party. And I bet every single one of them, because they just believe in free discourse and good faith, I bet they're all going to be really upset.
I care less about the Free Press and more about, okay, so.
I know, this is my personal obsession.
Yeah, I know.
This is not what's important.
But I've got my own personal obsession around this. The thing is like the Free Press guys, I don't know, they have such a specific thing they've decided they're doing, right? A specific lane and frame. The thing that I have been on about this morning is like, this is where like Mitt Romney like knows Liz Cheney, you know, has like been with her at a lot of appearances. Jonah, Steve, over at the Dispatch, like those guys, they know Liz Cheney. And
I have no problem with that.
You have no problem with what?
Sorry, that's just for Heather.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I want the people this should be a moment. It should be a break glass moment. If you can dismiss this as just another thing Trump said, he is talking about putting Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad. Like he is. This isn't a bloodbath contextual thing. This isn't, he was talking about something else. And also, this is one of those things where it's like, the rhetoric alone is disqualifying, not even like the explicit intention. Like the rhetoric alone is disqualifying. And if you are somebody who thinks that this can happen, that he can say things like this, and you're going to do, I don't know, maybe I'm going to write in Edmund Burke.
I mean, Sarah, Kamala Harris has talked about maybe sometimes using some form of price controls for groceries. So, I mean, how can you ask people to support that?
Well, it's bad. It's bad policy, and also has like literally nothing. They're not on the same planet.
I'm just being.
Same moral universe. And I just
You weren't on the TV with Scott Jennings this morning by any chance?
No, but I also went after him because I was like, I'm sure I can't wait to see Scott Jennings today because you know what he'll do? He will defend this by saying somewhere, someone on a college campus is doing a bad thing. And you know what? I bet they are. And I will not elect that weird 19-year-old for president.
That 19-year-old for president, right?
Sure won't.
Get your vote.
And you know what? If that person on that college campus is threatening violence, threatening to put somebody in front of a firing squad, guess what? I would kick them out. Okay. And I believe there is no better place for free speech than on a college campus. I'm a free speech absolutist, but guess where free speech ends? It's when you say, I'm going to threaten violence against this person, which is just, that's how free speech ends. It's a thing that we don't, that's where we don't tolerate, right? Is the, no, I'm going to put her, I think she should be put in front of a firing squad. We should aim guns at her. Like if a kid said that about another kid on a college campus with whom they were in a political debate, I think there would be consequences for that. And none of that matters, actually. Actually, it doesn't matter. This is the problem, is like people get wrapped up in the corollaries or whatever. Forget that. Is it okay? Is there any defense for somebody trying to be president of these United States to talk like this about somebody who opposes them politically? And I know there's no defense, but the question is like Mitt Romney, Jonah, Steve, Barry, whoever, will you tolerate this by saying, probably just going to leave it blank? Or will you say this is unacceptable, as so many other things are? He is so egregiously unfit that obviously, with all the reservations that come with give all your reservations about her policies. Say that you don't support him, but do something to keep this guy out of the White House. Do something. People who maintain their neutrality in moments like this, this is the last chance. Look, I wrote a piece. I wrote a piece for the Bulwark. Speak now, guys, or forever hold your peace. Because if he wins by 9,000 votes in one of the industrial Midwest states and becomes president, it's on you, guys. On you. I'm glad your hands are so clean.
God, I love this version of you. Hot fire.
What do you think? You talk about it.
Well, I mean, one of the paradoxes we have seen is that, like, Donald Trump couldn't possibly get a security clearance for any job in the government except president, right?
He couldn't get a job at the mall.
But this
he's a convicted felon.
But this is the weirdness of the American political life, right? It's people will tolerate anything because it's the biggest job, right? And then, you know, so we saw, like, there was a rejection of Doug Mastriano at the level of Pennsylvania governor. But I don't know, if Doug Mastriano was the Republican nominee for president, I think he'd get 47%, 46% of the vote, right? Because people just, they're so into the tribalistic partisan lock-in is so great that at the top level job, that's when they'll excuse everything or anything. And it's bad. It's really, really bad. It's worse that we, like the media, I know Tim, well, Tim's not here. I can say it. Like, you know, like the media plays along with the kabuki garbage stuff. And then, you know, like, the media, both sides is all of it as like, you know, oh, look at this bad thing. And this other thing is also bad. Like, yeah, same. And I just don't know how we get out of here. Yeah, it'd be great if, great if she wins. I think there's an even money chance that she'll win. I think it's great. I would like for it to be more than even money, but I'll take even money. Joe Biden didn't have an even money chance to win. And if she does win, things will be much better than if she loses. But at least in the near term, like the 8 weeks between Election Day and the certification of the votes, like that's going to be a period of very real danger. Because I don't know what you think about this, Sarah, but I my sense is that the mood in Republican circles is that like 100% of them expect Trump to win 100% of the time. Like they do not seem to believe that they think that they're in like Reagan 1984 territory, which doesn't make any sense to me. Like I don't understand how any rational person could look at this. Whereas on the Democratic side, like I don't even know if like half of Democratic voters think that she has more than like a 70% chance to win. Like even the most optimistic, even Simon Rosenberg is not telling you like, oh yeah, you know, 100 out of 100 times she wins. This is in the bag. And when you've primed people to do that after they've already attempted an insurrection and I don't know. Looks pretty bad to me. Looks pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I think I do think that it is worth saying that no matter which way this election goes, there's so much work to do. It's like a weird thing, actually, and this isn't specifically about the Bulwark or Never Trump, but I'm getting a lot of calls right now from reporters who are going to write the like, what does Never Trump do after if Trump loses? And like, you know, we get asked this a lot.
Because he's
like,
just going to evaporate, right?
I know. Well, it's not even that. No, but it's not that. It's not even about him. Like, I think that the mistake that people are making when they're like, well, what's the Bulwark going to do if Trump loses? As though Trump is our only raison d'etre. And not the manifestation of a sickness that is gripping our country and a political party that now is replete through that political party. And like, we're not at this moment of political realignment and media disruption and everything else. Like, what do you mean? Like, it's great. Everything, it is extraordinarily important that he be defeated. But if he's defeated, the idea that like It's all hunky-dory, man. It's copacetic now. Have we learned nothing? Have we learned nothing from the last few years then?
I mean, it'd be great if it was, but the most likely thing to me is, A, that he keeps his grip on his party, on the party for another 4 years. But even if he doesn't, like, Republican voters have now gotten a taste for authoritarianism. And I think whoever succeeds him is not going to succeed him by being Nikki Haley.
Wait, can I just read to you the New York Times headline? I'm sorry. I just saw this. This is the New York Times headline about this attack. Trump attacks Liz Cheney using violent war imagery. In an onstage interview in Arizona with Tucker Carlson, former President Donald J. Trump slammed a top Republican critic as he criticized U.S. involvement in foreign conflicts.
Yep.
Yeah, guys. No, doing. It's just a foreign policy dispute.
The New York Times is fucking the worst. I mean, that's not true. They're not the worst. The New York Times publishes many great things. I love the New York Times. It's a wonderful institution in many
ways. But this is unreal. This is like...
But this is what they've done for the last fucking 4 years.
And no, Donald Trump said Liz Cheney should be put in front of a firing squad. And see how she feels with the guns pointed at her face.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just sort of sane-wash it. They turn it into a, like, you know, even the choice of the verb slammed is a normal thing that political opponents do when criticizing one another's policies, right? Like, that's everything about that. It just, this is how things get normalized, right? The Times is just normal. They're turning this extraordinary thing, which has never happened before. No presidential candidate has ever said that his opponent, not his opponent, but, you know, a member of the opposition should be put in front of a firing squad. It just turns into a, you know, well, it's a policy dispute with some strong language. Great job, guys. Bang up job.
Man, the number of people who have failed to meet this moment really is extraordinary. Like institutions, humans. I'll never forget it. I won't. The North will remember. I have this, I don't know why. And sometimes I'm like, Sarah, you know, Trump is doing this and what, but like Trump could not do this without the silence and neutrality. I feel like there's a quotation and it's like the hottest places in hell are reserved for those people who, in moments of crisis, maintain their neutrality.
I think there's like a Dante, like the circle of hell. There's a
I'm
going to
look this up because I got to tweet it because that's how I feel right now.
You're composing tweets while we're taping. I would say this. It is important. I mean, it's fine to not forget and to keep a list like Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison. But because I do that, like with everything in my life, I have a series of lists that I keep for grudges.
Yeah.
But it is important to learn from this. And by learn from it, I mean to understand that when crises come, you actually can't count on people to do the right thing. And I think we entered the Trump years. I don't want to speak for everybody, but I certainly entered those years with a set of assumptions about the innate decency of people and how people's relationships to ideology and policy preferences and all those sorts of things and honor. And all of those assumptions on my part were wrong. And it was my mistake for not knowing, because it wasn't like this was unknowable. Like anybody who has studied human history would have understood that this is what people do, this is how societies fall apart, and that this is a thing that happens. But I, you know, I didn't clock any of that until Trump. And and so it's important to understand. And this is why it informs my view of whatever comes next. You know, like the people are like, oh, what are you going to do? If I, like, have you not been paying attention for the last 8 years? Like, We now, like, everything is the French Village.
Yeah.
Right? Everything is the French Village.
You know, you should really watch the show.
I'm sorry. I don't do series television.
I like, it's amazing to me that you have internalized the French Village simply through me talking about it as a metaphor for the things that are going on.
I mean, I'm sorry. I am willing to accept you as the mediating lens for everything and more in the world. That's my my level of trust for you.
That's great. That's great.
Can we talk about Larry Hogan?
Oh, yeah. We can. Oh, God.
So, Larry, what is it he said in his closed door, off-the-record fundraiser yesterday?
Did you... So I saw this, like, slide by and, you know, got sad about it for a minute and moved on. But the it sounds like he said, but is there a tape? He said he was telling these business leaders, look, Trump's endorsed me. So he was touting the Trump endorsement, according to this report.
This is a CNN report. Exclusive. GOP Senate candidate Hogan touts Trump endorsement in private fundraiser after repeatedly saying he didn't want it.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think about this. Were you surprised? On a call here, I'll just read from the CNN story.
Okay.
On the call Wednesday, a local GOP donor asked Hogan about the public perception that Hogan and Trump, quote, hate each other. The former Maryland governor clarified that he did actually receive Trump's endorsement, according to a video of the call exclusively obtained by CNN. Quote, Donald Trump actually endorsed me, Hogan says, interrupting the donor and repeating, Donald Trump actually endorsed me. Okay. So, good for Larry. He gets that both ways.
Yeah, so
I wonder, after the Liz Cheney thing, like, maybe we could place a phone call or text Larry Hogan and ask him, hey, so would you like to repudiate the Trump endorsement? Since he just said that he would like to put Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad. Would you like to put out a statement saying that
he should repudiate Trump's endorsement?
Because you're going to fucking lose the race anyway. Yeah. You're going to lose. So why not take your fucking honor and do at least preserve that? I'm sorry.
Yep. Not too much. I agree. I agree. This guy.
You are losing. It doesn't,
but that doesn't
like
even
this.
Matter.
Like, oh,
boy.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's going to get crushed.
I take Marjorie Taylor Greene every day of the week. You knew it was going to come back to her, didn't you? It always does.
No.
I can't quit her.
Everybody, I'm deeply disappointed in today and this weekend, the last 4 days, you will find me at my absolute most insufferable. I'm going to demand every single Republican who's been anywhere on anything, like formally repudiate what Trump says and say that you've got to keep this guy out of the White House. They're all getting text messages and emails from me.
The conversation goes on from there. This is it, guys. This is the time to do it. This is the time to join. If you want to be part of Bulwark Plus, we want to ride with you. We want you riding with us. Head on over to thebulwark.com and subscribe.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.